Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Before we take a look at the readings for today, I would like to share with you something that I read in Magnificat magazine by Father Peter Semenenko. He was a Polish priest in the 1800s, a Polish theologian. And he has here a marvelous summary of the way in which we gradually move away from the truth of what God has asked of us. As I spoke about yesterday, we move away from Him who is the truth, and how we can get ourselves into pretty dire circumstances. So just listen to this for a moment. He says, we can count three moments or degrees of evil. The fourth moment is evil itself. The good in us is still strong enough to make itself felt and to draw us. Okay, so we're still good enough. We've played with evil, but we're still good enough. That the good in us is still strong enough to make itself felt. We perform acts that are opposed to evil. And although the good does not rise on the scale, it is still strong enough to exert its pull on the individual. The latter does not rise from evil, but he still has the desire to do so. Where are you in that explanation? Is good triumphing more than evil? Or is it pretty much 50-50? Where are you? Pay attention. Listen to this section as he describes it. The battle has already ceased. The individual has no desire to arise, but he still knows that he must arise. He knows about good and theoretically desires it. He is sorry for the evil he does, but he does not pick himself out of it. We have free will, brothers and sisters. You can choose to reject evil. Do it while you still have light to do it. The third period or phase that Father speaks of is this person is no longer aware of any good influence upon him. He not only does not want to rise, but theoretically, even good does not attract him. He begins to justify his sin and to love it. He has loved sin for a long time already, but now he begins to identify himself with the sin. Then he has stepped into the pit. And only the final state remains. When you've given up a desire for good at all, you're in serious trouble. Find identification with evil and therefore complete ignorance of good, complete dismissal and even hatred of good, a life of evil that regards itself as good and holy. People are so immersed in evil that they can't see it. They say, oh yeah, this is a good life. This is good. Sometimes they say, says Father, this is the way it ought to be, or this is how it must be. They've totally given way, and they call evil good. Brothers and sisters, we don't want to fall. And there's nothing static. You can't just, oh, well, I'm not there. I'm not that bad. But don't settle for not being that bad. You want to grow, because otherwise evil will triumph over you in a time of hardship or disaster. Please, please pay heed to your spiritual life. Take it in both your hands. Commit it to God every day. Obey His word. Follow Him. It's the only way to be safe, truly safe, not just for time, but for eternity. The reading today is again from the prophet Daniel that we read earlier. King Nebuchadnezzar said, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you will not serve my God or worship the golden statue that I set up? Ooh, here's a king who's an idolater, and he wants them all to obey what he does. He says, be ready to fall down now and worship the statue I had made. And whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, the flute, the lyre, the harp, the psaltery, the bagpipe, all the other musical instruments, otherwise you shall be instantly cast into the white hot. And who is the God who can deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered King Nebuchadnezzar. There is no need for us to defend ourselves before you in this matter. Look at this courage. If our God whom we serve can save us from the white hot furnace and from your hands, O king, may he save us. But even if he will not, know, O king, that we will not serve your God or worship the golden statue that you set up. How badly we need that kind of strength in this world today. No, I will not worship your gods, small g. No, I will not give in to money, to sex, to power, to influence. No, I will serve my God in justice and in truth. We need people like these young men in the fiery furnace. King Nebuchadnezzar's face became livid with utter rage against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times more than usual and had some of the strongest men in his army bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the white-hot furnace. That's instant death, brothers and sisters. Now, what this section does is it gives us a certain section of chapter 3, and then it jumps a bit to verses 91 and 92. So there's a space, actually, between what I just read and what I'm now going to read. Nebuchadnezzar rose in haste. So nighttime has come now, and the early morning hours have come. And Nebuchadnezzar rose in haste and asked his nobles, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire? Assuredly, O king," and they answered. But he replied, "I see 4 men. So he gets up early, he goes down to the furnace, he looks and he says, "Now I see 4 men, unfettered and unhurt, walking in the fire, and the 4th looks like a son of God." Nebuchadnezzar exclaimed, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Blessed be, who sent his angel to deliver the servants who trusted in him. They disobeyed the royal command and yielded their bodies rather than serve or worship any god except their own God." It changed the king because they were willing to be faithful to God even if it meant their death. How deep is your faith? Don't say, "Well, I didn't live in those times, so I don't need to worry." Our methods are more sophisticated, but no less lethal. The Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 31 to 42. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And they answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free?" We don't realize all the bondage in our lives. We don't really understand all the ways, brothers and sisters, in which we're fettered, we're bound. Jesus says to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not remain in a household forever, but a son always remains. So if the son frees you, then you will truly be free. I know that you are descendants of Abraham, but you are trying to kill me because my word has no room among you. You are trying to kill me because my word has no room among you." When you meet someone who is truly Christian, it shows up your weaknesses and faults. And what we do, don't we, is to attack that one, to put that one down, to demean that one, to find fault with that one so we don't have to face ourselves. Give it up. Give it up. Stop doing that. Let the light shine, because even if it feels harsh for the first few moments, it will become very comforting and very strengthening and very freeing. "You are trying to kill me because my word has no room among you. I tell you what I have seen in the Father's presence. Then do what you have heard from the Father." You're not going to listen to me, listen to the Father. They answered and said to him, "Our father is Abraham." And Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works of Abraham. Now you are trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You are doing the works of your father." So they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God and am here. I did not come on my own. He sent me." If you were really living as a son or a daughter of the Father, then you would recognize me. But you can't recognize me because you're too blinded by your sin. And brothers and sisters, that's true of all of us. Sin blinds us. We end up seeing things in a very distorted fashion sometimes because of our sin, our weakness, our fear, our past experience. It's very, very, very easy to be blind and deafened by sin and to think we're doing just fine. Because we haven't had to confront yet the eternal and the final judgment. You don't want to wait until then. You want to deal with it now. You want to get yourself, by God's grace and by God's power and His presence and His blessing, you want to get into a place where you really recognize Him, where you really hear the truth, and the truth will set you free, just as it did to our early fathers. God wants to do to us. He wants to touch us. He wants to change us. He wants to heal us. He wants what is good for us. Think about this. He wants what is good for us. Our idea of good and God's idea of good are infinitely separated. Our idea of good is most commonly something of immediate satisfaction. Oh, it'd be good to do this. Be good to see this. Good to hear this. Good to go there. Brothers and sisters, what God wants to give you, what He wants to give us, and this is a weak analogy, but He wants to put new glasses on us so we can see who He really is and to see where we're really going and to see where we are at this moment on that journey. Are we following Him with our whole heart, our whole soul, our whole mind, our whole strength? Are we walking after Him? Are we willing to acknowledge our weakness, our sin, our failure? Are we willing? Please don't hide sin. Don't lie. Because the only one that you end up hurting is yourself. The only one you rob is yourself. The truth, brothers and sisters, will set us free. Truth will set us free. Not having our own way, not having all the money we want, not having all the power we want, not having all the prestige we want. None of those things will satisfy us. And many, many, many people have found that to be true. The source of your happiness should be your relationship with God. That puts you on a whole different plane. That's part of what helps to set us free. Are you living in some kind of bondage and burden? Are you living free? God wants you free. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.